Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everyone, it's Michael. Before we get started, wanted to let you know about the Union GK app. The Union GK believes that all goalkeepers, parents, and coaches should have access to personal mentoring, college recruiting, and training, which can be thousands of dollars annually. The Union breaks the barrier to entry to these offerings with a cost-effective subscription. So regardless of your location, your subscription allows you to connect with world-class professionals throughout the goalkeeping industry in a safe, intimate setting and receive unbiased feedback and guidance. For more info, go to theunionGK.com or download the app at the Union GK community on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show.
Welcome to Inside the 18. I'm Michael Magid, live from Hollywood, California. With me in Woodland Hills, California, the one and only 99 World Cup winner,
Saskia Weber. And joining us from all the way across the pond, the one and only Manchester United, still crazy to say that, goalkeeper. What's up?
Hi, everybody. Well, great to be here.
Just
with
keep
you guys
saying
again.
Like I said, like living
yeah,
my
does
dream.
Not get old.
Living my dream. I mean, back when there were no pro leagues in England, trust me, for women. So
yeah,
not at the level you guys are doing it. It's incredible. Yeah.
I was actually just watching Bended Like Beckham just like a week ago. And it even mentions that the only league right now for women's professional soccer was in the US. And then it blew me away in that film.
Yeah. And they ended up going, to Santa Clara, I think it was?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Bend it like Beckham.
By the way, do I sound like I'm coming through my
And the
my
goalkeepers
microphone?
Were horrible in that movie. This is the thing that upset me so much, right? So they tried to make like the field players, like they speed up the play and they do all the tricks. Mm-hmm. They try that. They just didn't give a crap about the goalkeepers. Like that goal, the final goal when she bends it like Beckham and everything, the keeper's like at the near post.
Yes. off
angle, everything does like a Superman dive to get to it. Yeah. And I'm like, it would have taken me like 5 minutes to adjust this.
Yeah.
Like not even. Yeah.
You gotta love goalkeeping from a standpoint of television and everything and movies and stuff. By the way, guys,
commercials, it's horrible.
Yeah. You gotta watch Shaolin Soccer. That's the one.
do I sound like I'm coming through my microphone or do I sound like
you
I'm
do,
coming
you
through
didn't
my AirPods?
No, your mic. You didn't originally, you do now.
Okay, good. Just making sure. By the way, I watched Next Goal Wins this past weekend, and oh boy, soccer scenes in movies. It's like, Fallon, it is literally an art form to learn how to be a goalkeeper in television because it's always about getting scored on, and it's almost like it looks so ridiculous because like the ball's like coming to the players aren't that great. The ball's literally being hit like right at them and they're jumping over the ball. It's so
I said, even in commercials, it's just like I'm gonna drop a name right now, but I was joking around with Michael Jordan, right? and we were
we were
talking about his commercial like Mike, like Mia back in the day, the Mia Hamm commercials, Mike, and they were like competing in all different sports and stuff like that. And so at one point, you know, she's playing basketball against him and then he's in goal and Mia shoots on him. And he's just like, so how'd I do? I'm like, I can't. I was like, I can't, I can't.
Yeah.
And I was just like, next time, call me. I was just like, I mean, what was that dive?
I was just like, I'm curious what the set position was.
And he totally like dove, like Superman dove and dove over the ball. It was like, it was, and I just, you look at Michael Jordan, you're just like, you know, the greatest of all time. And just like, that was horrible. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, today, we're not going to be breaking down Fallon's film at Man U. We're going to be breaking down Michael Jordan. Yeah. In a commercial from the 90s.
You're gonna go Google it and now. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And just do a full-on breakdown. Well, Fallon, before we kind of get into today's topic, which I think is gonna be really great, talking about learning new systems, why don't you just kind of explain, because I think a lot of people are like, what? She's at Man U now from OL Reign? Like what, how did this all happen and that whole experience? Cause you kind of came over near the tail end of the NWSL season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I've been really fortunate to have like a very diverse career already. I started in France and then playing for Stade de Reims. And then I was able to move to the NWSL and play for what was then OL Reign and now Seattle Reign. And honestly, just super grateful for that opportunity in the NWSL. And I was ready for the environment change to then have the opportunity to join Manchester United. I mean, once I heard about that opportunity and that they had seen me play and having, you know, met with the coaches and things like that. Once I got here, like it just really solidified that like this was a big step for myself in my development. Big change in my career, moving again all the way across an ocean away from my family. It was huge, but my mom was ecstatic. I mean, and everyone was coming out from the woodworks, like just congratulating me on this move, and like they couldn't believe it. And honestly, it was just no question. Like I knew that they're a club that was honestly pretty recently developed in the WSL. But just something where their standards and who they want to be as a club. And like our goalkeeper coach, Wilco, is just an incredible guy, like so attentive to details. And like I knew like this is where I could really, you know, boost myself and like try to get myself to be the best that I can be.
You know, and sometimes, you know, I mean, sometimes people, a lot of times people aren't willing to make risks, right? They're willing to stay with the safe choice. Like, you know,
how is that a risk? A risk is like going to some club in like the middle of China somewhere, or like something like that. Like it's not a risk. This is like just an opportunity. This is amazing. But I know what you're saying, and a lot of people have never left the States. Don't have, you know, which boggles my mind. But you know, don't have a passport. Like you know, don't want to leave their comfort zone. And we see that from youth soccer up, you know, when you don't want to leave a team, even though you could get promoted to a higher level team, but you have your friends and all this stuff. But, you know, you have to take those risks to further your career, period. And to play at the level and against the competition you're playing against and in front of 60,000 people and everything. You got to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and then obviously, you know, Fallon, you went into an environment where you're working day in and day out, obviously not only with Ian, but also working with, you know, a goalkeeper, you know, who's considered one of the top goalkeepers in the world. I mean, that in itself is just a massive, massive, you know, tool for you to keep developing, you know, your career.
Yeah, absolutely. And while I was grateful for my time in the NWSL, and let me tell you, I learned so much in the NWSL. I was ready for that push that's here. You know, England's no joke. I mean, we saw in the World Cup, it's incredible how much other countries have developed outside of the United States. Just coming here to England, one of my first games watching here was fortunate enough to see Manchester United versus Arsenal, and I was just like, guys, like the soccer, the football here it's so inspiring. And I love the NWSL. So I'm American. So like love our league too. But here was just like, it's a kick in the butt, you know, like I am a second keeper now. Like this is where like I can find myself really pushing myself and being excited and like, yeah, trying to see like that growth that hopefully I can, you know, keep progressing.
It's great, but it's amazing to see. And it, you know, to be honest, because it's the growth of the game because of leagues, like you're in, you know, France, Spain, everything. That's why you're seeing new world champions. That's why you're seeing players where usually, you know, the U.S. players would be the top 10 up for the Ballon d'Or or something like that, you know, now they're not even on the list. And, you know, they'll get there. And, you know, you have one or two, but it's not a, we're not dominant anymore. And it's what we always wanted. We don't want to, you don't want to win every game 6-0. You don't, you know, you don't want that. And back in the day, even playing against Brazil, we used to win games like that. And England and Holland. And so, and now it's just not, no joke.
Mm-hmm. You know, Fallon, I want to ask you this, because obviously, you know, you started out your professional journey, you know, overseas in France, and obviously went from the second division into the first division, which is, you got to experience, you know, pro rel, which a lot of people don't get to experience firsthand when they grow up in the United States. And how different was going from that into that French environment versus coming into this English environment?
Oh yeah. I was fresh and new coming out of Miami, had no idea what professional soccer even was. I don't think I knew what a tactic was. No offense to anything at Miami, but it was a survival in the ACC. I mean, if you're not familiar with the ACC, we're playing against UNC, we're playing against Florida State, and we were little old Miami. You know, we fought, but going to France and learning the French style of play was, they're just so technical. Like, you have these younger girls that are like, I think we had our academy girls that were probably like 17, 18, 19 years old that were just like on a technical level that I hadn't seen before at that time. And I think I was probably like 21 at that time. And so it was just new, like, where, you know, girls are just pinging the ball. It was almost like a speed of play that I hadn't experienced before. So even though they were maybe lacking on the physical side of things, like, I had to learn the game in France, even at the Division II level. Like, that was their level there too. And then D1, it just cranked up, where they had the physicality now and the technicality, where it was just, you know, again, I was playing for a lower level team at the time. We were kind of just, we just bumped up to D1. So we were still, again, fighting for our lives. But
that's what happened to me in Japan.
So. Yeah.
Getting my butt kicked.
Yeah. And then to this day, right now, they're still in like fourth or fifth in the standings. Like, we ended up fifth in my final year for them, and it was just such a great learning curve of just, you know, what it means to play football, essentially. You know, I really learned tactics from the bottom up there. And then the United States, I, you know, the same thing. And then at WSL, like, I learned what it was to be a part of a team, and the Americans' tactics as well, and what we wanted to, because OL Reign, now Seattle Reign, was a very possession-based team as well. Mm-hmm. And that kind of provided a great stepping stone to me here in Manchester United, where it's just possession and the physicality and just the IQ of the players on my team is just so incredible. And yeah, oh, so cool to be a part of, and just honestly just learning every time I step on the field.
By the way, speaking of learning,
is the IQ of the fans higher there? I had to say that. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
All right, move on. Yeah.
She had to apologize for that statement.
It was 2 weeks later.
Yeah. I'll stay away from that one. But, yeah.
I can say whatever I want. I thought one of the funniest comments, but not a funny comment, after the game the other day, where there was like 3,000 people there, and, like, you know, they're blasted, like, people are blasting it online and stuff like that, like, oh, you know, they want more money, but there's nobody in the stands. Like, first of all, we're in a monsoon in LA. Like, traffic's bad enough out here. You know, it's a Tuesday night. Kids have school. But one of the comments was, well, that's what you get for calling your fans stupid. And I was just like, there you go. I go, yeah. This isn't going to die. I can say what I want. It's a dumb comment. So we'll leave it at that.
Fallon, I'm guessing that you would not call the supporters at Man United stupid. I feel like that would not go well for any player.
No, at Man
United. You'll be back here real quick.
Yeah. But I will say here, like, people are very prideful over their teams here in England.
Absolutely.
Obviously, there's just been a long-standing Premier League here. So honestly, with the women's teams matching the men's teams as well, and name and everything, they just love their club, which is honestly just another thing that's so exciting to be a part of. Like, I went to a dive shop the other day, and he looked at me, and he was just, and, you know, I explained my situation, that I'm a professional soccer player, and he was just like, you're lucky you play for the right one. I was like, I'm not about to get wrestled here.
If you would play for my city,
red or blue,
service.
Yeah. get out of my shop.
Yeah, exactly. I will say
I'm not selling you intense. Anything.
Yeah. Do you like before you walk into a store, see like if there's like a red devil hanging in there before like you say, you know what, this is a safe location for me to.
It's like being in LA and having a red or blue bandana. It's like the Crips and the Bloods. It's like don't go in that part of town.
Oh my gosh. Well, speaking of learning, I learned a lot from Fallon outside of soccer too, because for those of you guys who are not familiar, actually Fallon does a lot of content in the marine biology world, which is her other passion. You know, I want to share, I'm going to put it up on the screen right over here. Some of your fishy friends content that's going on. Hold on, I gotta mute it though, because otherwise it's going to be a little, oh, there she is. There's Agent Fallon right there.
I love it.
As we speak, Fallon, why don't you talk a little bit about, because the evolution of this content, it's like gone from like you with a camera to like literally CGI effects. Like there's more production value in this thing than Madam Web.
I'm not getting in the ocean, whatever that thing was that walked by. We're getting in the ocean again. What is it?
Yeah. It's called a skeleton shrimp. So it's actually a type of amphipod. Oh. Basically related to like crabs and lobsters. No, they're really tiny, really thin.
Okay.
But yeah, so they were supposed to be like those little guys and you know, Men in Black, you know, the ones that are always sipping coffee and like, what the hell? Like those ones. Yeah, but honestly, yeah, the content started with honestly just my cell phone and PowerPoint and screen recording PowerPoints and doing PowerPoint animations. And then I was actually able to, because you know, we were a sister club at the time with Lyon. And I was able to spend a month at Lyon. So I was just like, oh, well, I'll have a bunch of free time while I'm training with them. And I was like, let me learn some of the Adobe programs. So I learned like After Effects, like Adobe Animate, all these different programs to try and like bring my visions and bring just how cool the ocean is to life a little bit more. And yeah, that's what I came up with for this one was for Ocean Month, which was in June. And it's just really, it's fun. It's so hard. So I have major props to, it changes the way you view films as well. Like, but
where is that?
This was actually just, this was in Washington. This is,
okay. I was like, are you able to do stuff out there?
Here in Manchester, I actually normally travel to either Southern England or Wales or up north to Scotland to do scuba diving. So I've already been scuba diving.
Do they have good scuba? Is it different? Like,
it's definitely different, but like in Washington, it was cold water. So then here it's also cold water. So I'm kind of used to it, but their lobsters are blue.
That's so what I was going to say. Like, are the animals different? I mean, I'm not trying to sound stupid, everybody. I'm just like, if you're on the Pacific coast, I'm sure like, you know, they're different compared to like, you know, Florida, you have rock lobsters, you know, Maine, you have the best lobsters in the world, in my opinion, to eat and stuff like that. That's how I equate everything when it comes to seafood. So I'm sure you're never going to speak to me again for saying that. It's okay.
Fallon's like, I talk to them like in The Little Mermaid. Like, so.
You're like, they're my friend.
If I am filming an animal for a while, I will give a little respect and say like, okay, bye, thank you. Just like give a little wave underwater. But yeah, like there's just such great like kelp forests here, seagrasses as well. Like there's even a seahorse that you can find in Southern England, which is super cute. I personally love sea slugs. They can come in every shape, size, color. Normally they're just these little guys. It's like a treasure hunt for me that we're just looking out for them because they're just so cool. In Scotland they have like their own little sea slug fest where like a bunch of divers just go out and try to find as many sea slugs as they can. Like it's just,
I've caught one of those fish before at that market.
Wait, you have at the Seattle?
Nice. Long time ago. We were up there with the US team.
Did you gloves on or no, just hands?
I just caught it. It wasn't just, they didn't just like throw a tuna at me.
I wish I had more behind the scenes content because it's just me like standing outside Pike Place for way too long, looking way too creepy, trying to film the right moment of them throwing the fish.
And people are like, we were like, I don't know what's going on right over here, but this woman seems very, very invested in us throwing this up. This fish. I mean, no, honestly, Fallon, I think this is really important for young players out there to see that, because like a lot of times, especially, you know, with the competitive level, ECNL, all that, a lot of times they start losing sight, or let's say their parents start losing sight about the fact that like you need to create a well-developed individual who has outside interests, because when the game is over, and at some point for all of us, the game does end, there's got to be something else for us to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so important. It was something that was ingrained for me since I was younger. Like, my mom was always very, would never classify as strict, just very, you know, open and honest with that with me too, of just like, academics are what you should really be focused on. You know, like, you, she was always telling me, like, as long as you're getting A's, like, you can play the sports, but you, as soon as we see a B, you're coming back home, you know? So just from a very early age.
I think also mentally, you know, we talk about this a lot, you can put away soccer for a little while, and you can delve into something else that you love. And like, you know, when we would be in residency with the US team, and we had days off and stuff like that, and Tony would always say, go do something else, you know, and whether like Mia and those guys would play golf or whatever they would do. Like, I tried to learn to surf. But it was my escape, like, for the week. Like, if I had 2 days off, that's where I was. I was at the beach, and I, you know, was flailing around on a surfboard. But it was still that checkout, you know, to give your mind a mental rest and find something else that you love to do. And I think that's great for kids. It can't be soccer 24/7. It can't. You'll burn out.
Yeah.
Also, I love the fact that the vampire squid, their vulnerability is Kristen Stewart. I love that. Yeah. That is hilarious. I wonder how many kids catch that.
Yeah.
When it's going through, they're like taking notes, and they're like, "Chris, wait a second. Oh, it's okay."
Yeah.
They're going to school, and they're just like, they're like, the vulnerability of the vampire squid is Kristen Stewart. And they're like,
yeah. Right.
That's great. That.
Yeah. But I absolutely agree with that. Yeah, just, it's so important just to have something off the field, just mentally. Drawing was actually something that I started when I went to France, when I started playing in the Division II of France. Like, I actually hadn't really drawn much except for doodles on the side of my, you know, university notebooks. And then I really just picked it up because mentally I was burning out. Like, it was a lot to transition to being a pro. It was a lot of weight. It was a lot of pressure for me. And I just kept, it was so heavy. And then like, drawing just ended up being like a really great release for me. And then slowly but surely, you know, as I got older, I started finding more ways to take my mind away from the field in a healthy way. And the earliest that kids can, you know, hopefully find those little things. And there's just so many things you can do. You can crochet, you can surf, you can draw.
Take Didi Harajic, and she's an avid photographer, you know, and you know, to go to, you know, do that and create the, and she shows in like coffee shops and stuff like that. You can buy her photography, but it's her escape as well. Like, you know, LB, although she's in Sweden now, she's a surfer, you know? So when you look at, I'm like, I don't know how much surfing.
When I think of Sweden, I think of surfing, man. That's yeah.
I know. Well, she just moved, but she was in San Diego. So, but it's important.
You know, and I want to say this too as well, Fallon. By the way, the fact that I did not realize you also did the illustration. So you're producing, you're editing,
it's
you're
incredible.
Filming.
But this is like great. This is
amazing.
Like, this should be in like schools.
Yeah.
Thanks. That's honestly the goal. Eventually, is to provide just. I really would like to just provide free content for schools to be able to show and educate children with a little bit.
I think it should be. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Honestly, I've seen stuff with major budgets who doesn't look even close to as good as this stuff. This is actually kind of fun, you know, while I'm watching everything. And honestly, Fallon, the reason we had you on to showcase all this stuff is because I'm joining a trivia team starting next Wednesday. So I just needed to get the information. To be ready.
Yeah, well done. Good use of it.
All right, let's hop out of here. We'll get out of marine biology for a minute. Let's get back to football here. let's talk about learning new systems. Fallon, in your mind, what do we mean by learning new systems? And you know, and how, why is this something that's sometimes difficult for like young goalkeepers when they leave a club and go to a new club?
Yeah, I think especially explaining this for younger players, what new systems are, is that even when you go from team to team, you're definitely going to have new coaches, new players. So anytime you're playing a game of football, day to day, it can be different. And also when you change from team to team, what that team is good at and what they're trying to achieve is different. Everyone wants to win, but the ways they win are different. So systems can just mean like how they want to win, essentially. And that can be different on a pro level. based on like teams in different countries, different leagues, the levels of leagues that you have as well, from Division Two to Division One, from France to the US to England. But basically, it's just different ways that teams try to succeed and how you fit in that team. As for younger goalkeepers, the kind of struggle that you might have is we have to be big communicators on the field. We have to be leaders as well, natural leaders on the field. And even I like to say to younger goalkeepers, even if you have a shyer personality, which sometimes I, you know, can be associated with, you too can be a natural leader on the field. It's just leader by example, honestly. So I think for younger goalkeepers and a new style, it's really just great to be as much of a sponge that you can be. Just even just asking your coach, like, no question is silly. Like, sometimes we take for granted what somebody else knows. Yeah. So it's really important to go to your coaches and just ask what's expected of a goalkeeper. And just in different situations, if you do have a goalkeeper coach on your team, then asking him if maybe feel like you made a mistake, like, oh, what can I have done differently?
Yeah. I mean, I think you just brought up some really good points. And by the way, you know, one of my favorite things, Susk, is that Fallon goes, you know, I can be, you know, naturally shy. I'm like, meanwhile, you're out there like filming in the ocean yeah. with all these animals, like waving at them at the fish market.
Yeah.
Is that just your alter ego, Agent Fallon?
Yeah.
Agent Fallon.
I think it just shows how important conservation and the environment is for me, that there's nothing. I think just that's just like an association that I get, but I don't consider myself very shy. I think I could talk your ear off. It just depends on the topic. I just think I like listening too. I really enjoy listening to people.
But you know, one thing Suska that Fallon said right there that just resonated with me right there is that, like, if a lot of young players just take into consideration that, like, a system is just the way that a team approaches trying to get a result, as opposed to like something complicated. It's like, oh, I'm going to this new system and they play with this three in the back here, and then they play possession here and they do this press and all that stuff. Like, if they just thought of it like simply like that, would it make it easier for them to be like, oh, okay, I just need to learn how I work in a system for them to win?
Yeah, I think I just had this discussion. I think that, you know, throughout your career, and you know, Fallon can attest to that, you're going to move around, and you're going to, every systems are going to change, philosophies are going to change, coaches are going to change. So as a young player, you know, you want to set yourself up to be adaptable, period. And that means putting all the right tools in your toolbox. That means understanding kind of goalkeeping in the broad spectrum, as well as refining your little skills and everything. And then being able to say, okay, so yeah, they do. Okay. They play a three back, not a four back. And okay, they want me to bypass lines to hit the midfielders from time to time, or just play out of the back. That's how this team did it. You might move to another team and the coaches might set it up differently, but you have to be able, with your skill level and growing your skills, to adapt to all of it and be able to change, just like a field player has to. And so the more adaptable you are, the further you're going to go in your career. You can't go in as a young player and be like, well, my last coach, my last team did it this way.
Oh, there's nothing worse. There's nothing worse, Fallon, than when a young player comes in and goes like, well, at my old club.
I think there's a different way, like Fallon said, to ask that question. Just say, instead of saying but my last team did, just be like, okay, well, can you help me understand this better? Because I'm coming from a system like this, and I haven't played this system before, so I need help in figuring out the best way to fit into it. And you have to have those discussions. You have to ask the questions.
Yeah.
And that also had that, and also, like, coaches, right, Fallon, have to be patient with a new player coming into a new environment as well, too. And it's like, instead of, like, you know, somebody berating, and I'm not talking about the goalkeeper coach, but I'm talking about like a head coach or something like that, and being like, hey, why do you play so, you're playing so deep, we want you playing high. It's like, well, I've never been in a system like that. I've always played a deeper position, starting position, you know? So that communication has to take place, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I definitely think that coaches should, you know, be willing to also, you know, have a little bit of a leeway and understanding their players and knowing their background at least a little bit, to knowing like maybe why, understanding why they're doing that, and then presenting the new solution and what they want from their players.
Yeah. Coach. Yeah,
Yeah. So I was trying to phrase it right. I was like, this should be a given.
Coach. Don't assume. Coach.
Yeah.
But you know, speaking of that, like, let's talk a little bit about, you know, Fallon, like, kind of like the variables that stay the same. Because, like, I think a lot of times young players start thinking, going to a new club, new system, well, everything's completely different, but no, shot stopping, like, mm-hmm. distribution. Like, why don't you talk about some of the variables that always stay the same, regardless of what system?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you said it right there in there, but, you know, just the game itself is still the same. It's just a little, like, tidbits and things that happen and how it gets there is a little bit different. And that's where that being adaptable and really great at changing environments is why that's so important for especially a goalkeeper, but field players alike too. But yeah, I think it's just really, really important. Completely forgot your question there.
No.
I did too.
Go ahead, Seth.
Yeah.
Well, I just feel like, I think like, cause this happened to me the other day is I had a kid move to a new club. And the parent was talking to me about how, like, well, they had play a different system. And so, like, we've been working on was for his old club. And now I'm worried, like, now he's at his new club. I'm like, well, footwork is footwork. Handling is handling. Like, diving is diving. Right. Like, distribution is distribution. Yeah. Handling crosses. The only things that change are, like, the supporting positions because of how the team plays. Like, that's really all it is, right, Sus?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and that goes back to what I said. I mean, you want to have the tools in your toolbox. You, like, you know, make sure you refine those technical skills and tactical as well, like understanding the game in front of you, period, regardless of the system that's played and what it requires. And then you can plug in, all right, they want me to play higher. They want me to do this. They want me to do that. In this system that we're playing in, and then you can just plug it in. But you're right, you know, at the end of the day, pulling a cross down is pulling a cross down. You know, proper positioning is proper positioning. Coming for a through ball properly is coming for a through ball properly, you know. Mm-hmm. So but it's reading those situations within the system as well, right?
Yeah.
So
Fallon, was there any change between OL at the time and now Seattle and Man U for you?
Oh yeah, I definitely. Well, they very much laid out what they wanted from their goalkeepers here when I first got here. And they were just like quickly like, we have Katie Zellum in the midfield, who's also our captain. And right off the bat, she's just like, you know, maybe I'll, you know, be scanning the field a little bit and like having trouble finding an option. But like, she's like, Fallon, like, I'm here right here in the middle, like, of the field for you. Like, play me the ball. We can then spray it back out to the outside back. They're just so like very communicative here. And just the way their style is and how they've been as a team, especially like they've been, a lot of the girls have been on the team for like quite a few years now. So they've just built up this kind of like flow with each other. And they've really just been so open and welcoming and too, as you know, in practices and learning their system, you know, how they want their goalkeepers higher, you know, and playing with their back line. That's very expected of a Manchester United goalkeeper, is that like you're now becoming essentially like another center back. Like that's what they need you for in the buildup. And you see like how, you know, beneficial that is. Like, whoa, it's the way this game is played here. It's fun to watch, honestly, because they're just some beautiful soccer is happening here. And yeah, the coaching staff laid out what they wanted for me, especially the goalkeeper coach. Like he's constantly there on the sideline, like never in any kind of negative manner, like just always there, honestly, as you said, Saskia, coaching. You know, yeah. He's just like, here, pull a little wider, like be out of her shadow, open up this angle. Like, I see that you're here, but we want you here, mm-hmm. You know, and it's just like, just very direct, concise information that I've been receiving here the whole time that I've really enjoyed.
By the way, there's a comment here on Instagram from somebody who said, loved how you were going around collecting the trash at the last game at Lee Sports Village. Was that?
Yeah. We had like a wicked wind going on in like our stadium, and it was just like twirling around. So then all the trash from all the trash cans was just swirling around the field. And so like, you know, when we go like that, I don't know, like the 15 minutes, 20 minutes to go do our little warm up on the sideline, there was so much trash. You're like, you can't just walk by it, you know, like you got, so luckily I had my big puffer on. So I just started stuffing it in my pocket.
I had like 10 pieces. Taking a lesson from the Japanese fans, right?
Yeah, and like team. 10 pieces of trash just all tucked away.
But that's amazing right there. I mean, like I think a lot of parents and a lot of young players should hear that right there, because like, you know, that is a not only a professional attitude in regards to how you play on the field, but a professional attitude how you handle things off the field too.
But it's respecting it.
It's a respecting, yeah.
Yeah, it's your church, you know. It's your mm-hmm. home. It's your ground. It's you respect it. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. All right, let's get into this right here.
Do you pick up trash when you go scuba diving?
I actually do. Yeah, yeah. They have cleanups like all the time. We go underwater and we bring a little bag with us and we put all the trash.
I see that online a lot that people do that, and I'm just like, see, it comes from that. Respect the ocean.
Yeah.
Look at these shots, by the way. This is so cool, honestly.
Ooh, yeah. We're like, okay, the soccer part's over. Back to Marie.
No. Honestly, like, I feel like I feel like I'm watching PBS right now. This is amazing. Like,
totally. It's Discovery Network.
This is honestly. Yeah. This is just as good as anything I see on TV, Sask.
Yeah. I know. Discovery.
God, my God, this is incredible. Oh my gosh. Although it's got to be very, very
look
cool
at those
waters. My God, look at these things. These things are so cool. Oh, why do I have to skip all the way over here into soccer stuff? Oh my God. Here's all the credits, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give all the credit for everybody here. All right. So let's, before we get into everything right here, guys, we're going to go into some breakdowns of some Fallon's actions over at Man United. First off, Fallon, why don't you explain the rivalry between Man City and Man United for maybe some of the listeners here in the United States who aren't as familiar with the culture there.
Well put, Mike.
Yeah. Anybody listening, take your favorite sporting team and just pin them against their biggest rival in history. And that is the rivalry you have here for Manchester United and Man City in a derby. And I could not believe that my little self was here. And this was a moment for me. Like, I was really, really happy to be a part of this team and a part of this game. It was really special. But yeah, you take the Yankees versus the Mets, but you can't even use that example. I don't know. But take any rivalry.
Red Sox, Yankees, Dodgers, Giants.
Rangers, Islanders.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Ryan Coulter over on
soon
IG right now says.
Soon to be Angel City Bay and San Diego.
Yeah. Yeah. Rain and Portland. That was another one.
There you
Big
go.
One. Yeah.
So Ryan Coulter over at FC Cincinnati says, great to listen to your enthusiasm describing your experience with the coach. It shows how important the in-game coaching is to allow a new goalkeeper to get comfortable with their new club's expectations. Fallon, anything you want to add to that? Great shout out, Ryan.
I love when Fallon, you got there and you DM me and you're just like, Sask, you'd love it here. I'm like, okay, I get it. Yeah. 20 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about this here right here. So first off, this is a corner kick right here. And honestly, regardless of what system you're playing in, like a corner kick is going to be a corner kick type of thing. So this one's like an in-swinging cross from Alex Greenwood. You recognize kind of that it's an in-swinging bend. And recognize you can't handle this ball based on the traffic that's there. And it's just a simple box out into a safe area. But notice how Fallon continues with the track in case that ball does spill into a bad area. She's ready for the recovery right there. Susk, anything you want to add here?
No, I think it's great stuff. First of all, it's a really solid clear. You know, a lot of times I think we see that just not cleared properly. You gave yourself some height on it and some distance. So you actually had the time to recover and get back into position. So here you see that height and that distance, you assess where it's going to land and you adjust yourself. So you don't wait. And this is, I think, a lot of young players have a problem with. They wait, they take like, they're like stuck. Okay, where's the ball going? You know, and then once it lands at the foot of a player, they're like, oh, now I have to recover. Now I have to get into position. Well, the time to get into position is you assess the field. You take that snapshot. You see that ball is going to land where it's going to land. You should know that ahead of time. And you should already be like retracting and getting into the proper position.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think one of the really good things about this, you know, Fallon, first off, in my opinion, what I love about this is just the simple focus. And I just think so many young players, once they make the action, the final action, they think the play's over. They're like, great, did my job.
But that's what I mean.
Hopefully they clear it.
Yeah. They're waiting to see, they're letting the next action dictate their movement.
Yes.
Instead of saying, okay, I got it. I'm out of position. you know, for where this ball is going to drop. I got to fix that. So the next action I'm ahead of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dylan, anything you add?
Yeah. And then I guess if we wanted to pair this back with just like systems in itself. So when you're speaking to a younger goalkeeper, like as a goalkeeper, your job when, you know, dominating your box or 6 yard box is still the same. So while I could probably have clips of myself from Miami, from, you know, France, from the US, of me coming out for crosses, like that responsibility still seems the same. But if we're talking about a system, maybe it's the defenders and how they are, like, do I have a person on the front post? Of course. Then are you playing with two in the zone? Are you playing with three in the zone? Knowing who's in the zone, that's very important for goalkeepers to be knowledgeable about who's being set in these positions and knowing other players' roles, because that's our role as a goalkeeper as well, is knowing where other players should be.
That's a really great point, because your starting position is going to be determined based on the system you play on these set pieces.
But also your follow-up afterwards. So you know if you have one player on the near post in this system and stuff like that, and you're clearing the ball, you know you got to get them off, right? So, you know, your knee-jerk reaction is up, get up, because you don't want them hanging. So somebody can like linger in front of you. So you got to pull that line up. But in some systems, maybe there's nobody on the post, right? So maybe everybody's in the zone and they're already up, and then you have to push them up more. So it's, again, going back to knowing the system you're playing and the defenders around you and their role as well. It's not just your role, because you are a communicator and a captain, and you have to organize this.
By the way, this, I love this next action right here, because honestly, I think, Fallon, as we break it down before we get into it, I just want to bring up the fact that a lot of young players, they are play when they're doing activities at training, they're playing that drill as opposed to thinking from a game standpoint. And in the game, anything can happen, such as literally right here, it's a direct distribution and it's lost right there. And Bunny Shaw, by the way, this became the Bunny Shaw versus Fallon show for the next, like, 45 minutes. I'm not kidding you. You should see Susk, like, honestly. She intercepts this, but what I really love about this is, because you were still focused on the play, you're able to stay balanced and composed in the moment. And because of the way that she was positioned, you didn't freak out. You stayed calm. It's a clean handle on the collapse dive. A lot of goalkeepers would have freaked out right here. Oh my gosh, a player just got the ball inside the box. I got to run out at that ball. You're like, nope, she's got coverage on her. I'm good here. I can handle it.
Go back a sec, Mike. Go back to it.
Okay. Okay, I'm going back here, right here. Okay, so first off, this is the play right here, and it's taken right there. So, Fallon, where are you first off right here?
Yeah, I'm still probably recovering back into the goal, maybe trying to – at this point, I'm definitely recovering back into the goal because I can see what's developing. But, yeah, probably 2 yards off my goal line.
And the thing I like about this, and we talked about understanding your players around you and the system that you have, is – Bunny's got the ball, the area of the goal that she can shoot at has become obvious. And why? Because if you keep this going, look to Fallon's left. I don't know who your defender.
Yes.
So she tucked in after the mistake as well. So now what's Bunny? The only place Bunny really has to go is near post on Fallon, right? Mm-hmm. Because you guys have technically the goal covered, but understanding your players as well. You know, because had she not tucked in, this could be a different situation. Your positioning would have had to be different. She's got the whole goal to shoot at and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Man, Susk, that's next level analysis right there. Because I didn't even recognize that tucked player on the left-hand side. Right.
That's why I get paid the big bucks, Mike.
My gosh. Now I see why you do it on TV. You and Fallon soon are going to be leaving me in the wake on TV with your marine biology show, and Saskia with her own goalkeeping analysis show. No. I mean, that's such a great point right over there. And I think a lot of the times, Fallon, you know, one of the things, speaking of that right here, young goalkeepers don't trust their outfield players to do their job. And so they think they're going to screw up. I got to take control. I got to take action. But that ends up actually kind of making it worse, because now two people are trying to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I would definitely agree with that.
And she's also there for the slotted ball. She could step forward. Although whoever that is yelling at Bunny, like, pass me the ball. But I think that pass would have been eaten up as well. So, yeah. Well, you would hope.
But. Yeah. And I would say for younger goalkeepers, even if they're unsure of their field players, I think it's a little bit healthy to be a little unsure. Never expect that everything's going to go exactly right for the players around you too. Like, always be ready. Like, even if Bunny Shaw headshot the other way too, you have to be ready for that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's a really good point right there. I want to show this as you were talking about Man City and how, like, you basically have to play like a flat center back with them here in this next clip right here after we see Bunny. He's not happy with that.
No, she's not happy with her teammate yelling at her.
So I think right here, what we see right here. So first off, explain the shape that we got going on right here. And is this typically how the support position that you kind of take with these backs right here?
Yeah, definitely. This is what we want. We want our center back stepping in. Like, we've got some great composed players on our team. And yeah, this is a decently normal setup for us. I could be higher.
By the way, another comment in the comment section, the GK United are amazing, the staff and the players. So shout out to all of Man United's GK Union right there. So
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Big shout out to the goalkeepers that I train with. They're really great people.
All right. So the ball was played back. You drop back for depth right here. The ball's played back to you right over here. Now, again, Bunny Shaw is chasing you right here. And she's literally coming at you full speed. And you recognize that your touch, based on where you're playing it, is exposed right there. Mm-hmm. So now you quickly turn and shield. I don't know how you shield her. I'd be terrified right here.
But
you shield her with your body and you look for just a passing lane.
Nice.
And you play this direct ball right. I mean, that's a beautiful ball to find that player right there. First off, this vision to be able to see that player, that's next level in my opinion. Susk, anything?
Mm-hmm. No, and it's great. And it's also the identification that had you gone wide with that, you would have kept everybody in trouble. So had you gone here, they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, right? You're going to get the press from 9, right, on your outside back. And so you're still probably going to be in a bit of trouble here. So to bypass this line right here and have the confidence to serve this through, to split that line right there, that is next level. And that is why you're at Manchester United.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And it does go back to like knowing your players and knowing your system and where your players should be. Yeah. And that goes back to the trust of your players as well.
Yeah.
And then if I wanted to speak on like the untrusting thing, like I need to get my booty back just in case.
You know, I mean, it's funny that you say this here, Fallon, in regards to like this play right here. First off, the coming here, like, do you know the players there? And like, you're like, okay, well, that's the space they're going to move into. Or do you look to see if the player's there when you get this chase? Because it's really hard to multitask like this when you have somebody literally on your leg, like literally on your leg right there.
Yeah. And I think what's even tougher for younger goalkeepers too is like, so you see where my initial touch is. And then as goalkeepers, we can see the oncoming pressure as well. Mm-hmm. And that can be panicky. And that's when you feel almost limited in your options, but knowing that you as well become a field player and you can take multiple touches. It's not fun. Don't take too many, you know. That's when it comes in. Come prepared, know your team, know what your coaches want and where your players are. So to answer your question, like, it's a little bit of a mix of both, because obviously the game changes constantly. Doesn't mean that your player's going to actually be there. Maybe something happened. Honestly, maybe she tripped. You just don't know. So you do as well have to look.
But Sus, you always talk about, you know, don't follow one mistake with a second mistake type of a thing. And like, maybe that touch was a little bit wide over there.
Don't panic.
Recognize that chase. She didn't panic right there. She's like, okay, I got a problem solved. And I think,
look, you know, don't panic, right? So what's the word? If you panic and you follow one mistake by another mistake, the ball's in the back of the net, right? Mm-hmm. So worst case scenario, she heaves it out of bounds, right? Mm-hmm. Take the touch, send it over the sideline, the touchline, you know, and you live to fight another day. Right.
Yeah.
Bad end of this is that you panic and you kick it right into Bunny or into oncoming more pressure and it's in the back of the net. So, you know, don't panic, like just solve the problem. And it's a split second to solve the problem. And it takes practice and it takes understanding your players, but it also takes understanding your limitations and the pressures that's on you. You know, it's okay to send the ball out of bounds if you have to clean up a situation.
Yeah. And I want young players to hear that too, because the thing is like, it's okay. Like, hey, maybe you're not there yet or whatever. We want you to explore. We want you to try these things and you know, maybe it's going to be successful or maybe it's going to be not. But you don't have to do what Fallon did right there. Maybe that doesn't work for you. Do what works for you in the moment.
But identify, okay, I took a bad touch and I'm in trouble here. You know, mm-hmm. you might not have the support that Fallon had. You know, there might be even more pressure on you. So clean it up. Like, don't mm-hmm. force yourself into, well, I have to try to find one of my players. I have to try to split the defense. I have the oncoming attackers. You know, if you looked at me as a young player and you this was further back and you turned around and put it over the touchline and it turned into a corner, I'd be like, okay, you know what I mean? You panicked. You were in you put yourself into a bad situation, but you didn't follow it up by the ball's not in the back of the net. So mm-hmm. we're here to fight another day. We can clean this up next time. We can work on it in practice. We can try to figure out how to get you out of the situation, you know, but you identify that you put yourself into that situation. Just fix it the best way you can at this moment.
Yeah.
But by the way,
Fallon, I'm sure a field player coach would turn on me and be like, why the hell did they put it out of bounds? And why is it a corner kick and everything? I'm like, it's not in the back of the net. Yeah.
Well, you know? I think a problem a lot of times with outfield coaches is that they look at the goalkeeper and they conceptually they're like, this is what I want them to do in that moment. And if the picture doesn't look like what they wanted it to look like, they get upset as opposed to recognizing that it was effective in the moment. That's really what matters. And we have to teach our goalkeepers to be effective and be able to improvise as opposed to doing literally only one thing, because that's what the coach always wants us to do in that moment. They're not robots, you know.
But you also have to remember mm-hmm. the team you're playing against knows that that's what the coach wants you to do in that moment. And they've adjusted to it in their play. So they're going to, if you do it every time and you don't use your own mind sometimes and you realize in the run of play, all right, they figured out that we're always playing the ball here and then we're playing it out there and then we're building this way and they're baiting us and they're waiting for it. Well, guess what? You have to change on the fly and you have to have the confidence mm-hmm. to do that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. no, that's absolutely true. All right, let's move on right over here. I want to, by the way, Fallon, did you and Bunny Shaw afterwards, like, did you guys have like one of those, like, you know, like lines where you had like 1, 2, 3 crossed out, how many shots she took tallies. On you, how many saves you made, and compared, compared notes? Cause it was like literally a battle between you two.
Yeah.
So this is it's Laura Coombs. I think she feeds out to Lauren Hemp. And then she kind of plays a square ball to Bunny Shaw. The defender kind of misses on that tackle right there. Scary tackle to take inside the box like that. But she hurdles over her, apparently. You stay mm-hmm. composed. You don't freak out and start flying to the ground or spreading like I see a lot of young goalkeepers do. You just go out. You recognize the danger space. You come out. You stay big. You get hit square. Mm-hmm. And then once you get hit, you stay high again. So mm-hmm. that she doesn't have anything to shoot on and she plays it wide. I think that's just world class right there. I mean, just mm-hmm. next level. Let's get back to this play right here. Susk, anything you want to see?
No, I don't know what your player was doing, but but again, you're waiting. Like, you know, I agree with Mike. I mean, I think you nailed it spot on. You came out, you stayed big, you closed the angle, and you're like, Bunny, you have to beat me. You know, instead of beating mm-hmm. yourself. And I think it's a good point of what you said, Mike. A lot of young players out there, if you can watch this and everything, would just come flying, right? Mm-hmm. They just go, I'm coming out, which is what Bunny wants. I'm coming yeah. out. I'm doing a block save too far away, 5 yards, you know, yeah. and I'm like yeah. I'm on the ground already. And she just chipped it over me. You know, instead mm-hmm. you stayed, you stole some ground and then you mm-hmm. stayed big and you're like, Bunny, you have no angle right now. Beat me. And she couldn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. but what I really like right here, Fallon,
but how
is
many
after,
players have we seen just go flying, you know, like,
Yeah. Good. I definitely think for younger.
Go ahead.
You gonna ask?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say for younger goalkeepers, I think even like going back to what we were talking about with the distribution is that we always see, especially now that we have so much social media, is that we see like what the pretty pristine version of like everything that we want a goalkeeper to be. Like even when we talk about blocks and spreads, and they're very useful in the games and things like that. And just knowing yourself too, as a goalkeeper, and just how much of a journey it is too. Like I'm 27 years old and still very much like I'm still tweaking my set position. Mm-hmm. I'm still learning, honestly, what we're seeing in this clip right now of being big. Maybe at some point, maybe a year ago, maybe I would have been one of those that just came flying out. Like that could have been me. But it's just honestly, it always is just such a growth. And if you're not there right now, like, just keep plugging away. Like, it'll come. Like, don't worry if you're not there right now. Like it will happen for you.
What I really love about this is when you get hit square on right there, your first thought is chase ball and find where that ball went. And so Bunny's got nothing because you've stolen that ground. She can't shoot on goal because there's no angle now for her to see the goal at all. You know, so as far as I'm concerned, that second ball was also a save because she would have slotted that if you had not done that right there. So, yeah. All right, let's move on to this last clip right here, because I know it's starting to get late for you out there. What's 8:52 already? Yeah. all right, so let's move on. Well, you know what's funny though is it's so funny. So Fallon reaches out and she's like, "Oh, I'm only available between 11 and 2." And I thought she meant 11 and 2 UK time. And
yeah,
and I was like, 11 and 2 p.m. UK time. I'm like, oh boy, that's really, really early for
Like the crack of dawn.
Yeah, and I'm like, she's like, no, and then I looked at the text again, and I was like, oh, that's Pacific time. Oh yeah, we can do that. We can we can do that, because Saskia knows anything before 10 a.m. is a struggle.
It's a struggle for Mike.
very much so. All right, let's move on to this last clip right over here, because this is actually something that came up in a conversation yesterday with me and a young goalkeeper in regards to when a player takes a heavy touch and not trying to block but instead find the ball. So here is a ball. I think it's Hasegawa. She plays a direct ball to Bunny Shaw. Again, Bunny Shaw show. And she's dribbling, but it's a heavy touch right there. And you come out, a lot of young goalkeepers come out and they try to get into a block shape right here. You're like, no, heavy touch. I'm going to go and win that ball and go down. Yeah. This is a lost art, Fallon, in my opinion.
Mm. Yeah, when I was younger, we were taught the Cobra. I don't know if people still teach the Cobra anymore, but yeah, that was like a technique where it's like the 50-50 ball and you go at the same time. But this was one where
you block it in your you would block it into your body.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. Lost art, yes, I think, but I think it's a lost art because kids are too literal. We talk about that all the time. They see, you know, the block save. They see this is what you know. I'm telling you, nobody, like, so many people don't teach it right, and kids are doing it from 5 yards away. Like, why would you go into a block in this situation? My mentality when I was in goal is like, please take a long touch. First of all, I know that in order to make this turn right now and beat that my defender, there will be somewhat of a long touch. And as a goalkeeper, you can actually force that long touch. You can talk to your defender like, hold, and just be waiting and say step in order to, and if you say step to your defender, that Bunny has to take a long touch to beat it and just be baited and waiting to jump on it, hands to the ball. Best place for the ball to be is secure in your hands. So this is exactly how you should handle this situation. And like, you're just waiting. I just love long touches. Come on, do it. You know, just eat it up. Those, it's like, great. Thanks. Just made my job easy. I'm just waiting on it.
Yeah. And I think for younger goalkeepers too, is just like the action's not finished when it's in your hands, like to really feel the ball, secure the ball, because Bunny Shaw came at me with some power. And I remember thinking after this one, like, whoa, like she's a
strong
girl.
That could have come out. That could have popped out.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a really good point right there, because I think a lot of young players, or let's just say players in general, I can't tell you how many times I've gone down in a Cobra right there and I haven't gone in with my full power. And because of that, the player overpowers me and they're able to get the ball.
You want to let your energy and your body go through this ball.
Boom.
Right. So you're not ending up where you save the ball. You're ending up past it. And in order, if your body momentum goes through this ball, Bunny, if she tries to stay on the ball, is going to get upended. She's not. You're going to win because your body has more power and energy because you're using her whole body in this situation. If you see so many young kids that they're trying to save the ball at the point of here and try to stop their momentum, and that's when you're going to flub it and it's going to come out. So just keep on going.
You know, it's funny. I want to see actually, because there's a little bit of a bigger. So I think you can see it better here in this angle right here. So did that just go away?
Mike, you need to go to her editing class.
I do. Full transparency. I am.
Don't tell me you're sick.
I am. I oh am. I don't know if you've been able to tell. I'm totally sick. I'm gonna blame that. And guys, obviously, if you want to take Fallon's editing class, you can do that. All right. So as we're starting to wrap up, and first off, Fallon, thanks for taking the time. I know you've wanted to wait a while until you've acclimated, to the environment there, gotten a little bit of a reps under your belt. You know, I think we reached out originally when you came out to Man U, and you're like, let me get some tape first before coming on the show. Otherwise it's going to be kind of a boring show. What advice do you give to coaches who have a young player come into their system and they're struggling at the beginning?
Yeah, I think I just do a little bit of a background check, just in the sense of just really getting to know your player a little bit more, where they came from, what team they've been playing for. If they're super young, obviously they don't have clips or anything like that, but I think you can just get to see them in like your first week of training sessions, maybe before like going straight in with so much and trying to tease them so much, maybe get to know them for a little bit and then go from there. Like I think it should be where you understand each player, because all of us are so different. Like even at the professional level right here, like all the girls on my team are so different and respond to things differently, which is perfectly fine. Like we shouldn't shy away from this. Like there are so many differences in how people have gone throughout their career, even as, in the youth clubs and things like that. Like we shouldn't be afraid of so many of these differences and want to put them into a box and just like make them, like your forward looks like this, your midfielder looks like this, your defender looks like this, and your goalkeeper looks like this. Like honestly, just try and embrace all those differences, get to learn that child and that player's differences, and, try to embrace that and praise them on that. Let them be themselves for so long, and then just provide them with that information of just little by little, those tactics. Try not to be too overwhelming. And again, just going back to things off the field, maybe you could just insert a little thing about like, oh, hey, what are you doing? In the sense of how would you properly phrase this? But, do you like to draw? Do you like to crochet? Do you like to, insert little things of where the child or the young player like isn't so focused and so burnt out at the end of it all. Make it fun. Mm-hmm. Let it be fun. Let kids have fun.
I love that. And I think, one of the things that I try to do, and, we all try to work and getting better
at it. Do you crochet with your players?
I'm trying to learn how to crochet. I got a feeling, succulent.
Like. I have a feeling that she's crocheting because it's like the third time she's brought up crochet. Like, where's crocheting come from? I want a scarf or something. So
yeah, it's like my next big challenge is trying to learn how to just make things while crocheting.
I think you'd go viral, Fallon, if you crocheted underwater while in scuba gear. If you were crocheting underwater with like a stingray next to you. Like
it could be possible. It could be possible.
Oh my gosh. It'd be very, very wet, very, very difficult to do that, I think, underwater. Saskia, anything you want to add to that? Because like I think I love what you said about keeping it fun, because like honestly, I think one of the most difficult things when a kid comes to a new club and it's a new system and they're struggling is they're not having fun because it's they're failing, they're not succeeding. And you gotta just make them feel comfortable and be like, hey, it's okay. Like you're here for a reason. You're here for a reason because you have qualities that are going to make that are going to help our team, and we want to help you get better too.
Oh, you have to, it's a game. You have to enjoy it. You have to enjoy what you're doing, period. And look, there are going to be hard days and hard times and hard practices, and there's going to be serious times and everything like that, as there should be. But if you're not enjoying what you're doing when you step on the field, then, why do it? But it's up to us as coaches and mentors and everything to find that joy as well and make an environment that it exists in, and just a well-rounded environment that players want to play in and they want to come to and they want to work hard, because if you are enjoying it, you're going to work harder.
By the way, I just want to make this mention right here as we start wrapping up. And Fallon, again, thanks for taking the time. Speaking of enjoyment, I'm enjoying the fact that people have been subscribing to the Union GK app and been doing the mentor programs. Isn't that a great segue into a plug right there?
I love it.
I need to I need to make this known right now to everybody. We are four away from 3,000 subscribers.
I know.
So away from 3,000 subscribers. So everybody who's watching right now, if you're not familiar with the Union GK app, if you're not familiar with the Pro Mentoring Program and everything like that, go to the UnionGK.com. You can download the app in the Apple or Google Play Store. We get four more from watching this vodcast right now, guys. We're going to be at 3,000. You're going to be part of that lucky community. I think that 3,000 is going to get a free one-year subscription. That's what I'm going to do. Number 3,000 will get a free one-year subscription. Right. Okay. So if you're willing, so that's it, guys. So you got to hop on there right there. So see if you can be number 3,000.
It's like going to the grocery store and getting like free.
Yeah. You're our 1 millionth customer. Yeah. Confetti will come down.
Who hasn't thought about that when they've gone to the grocery store? Yeah. I'm like, wouldn't that be great? Where are the balloons?
No, but honestly, I'm really, really appreciative of everybody's coming on. Also, I want to give a shout out to some of the people that I've been working with in the mentor program right now. I think a lot of people think that the recruiting thing is only for high school and youth players. Like, I've been doing recruiting stuff with junior college players because I know that that's also a thing. Players going from the two-year program to the four-year program.
Transfer portal.
The transfer portal. It's a whole thing. So if you're a college player, an older player, we're here for you as well, too. It's not like you turn 18, goodbye. No. And young coaches, same thing. Parents, I know, Siski, I know you've been working with parents. So shout out to all that.
I don't know if that's like a nod to me and my age that like I'm always on with the parents. Maybe it's just a comfortability. I don't know. It's a parent, but I got to talk to Saskia. No.
Hopefully we can get some younger mentors on. Maybe we can get Fallon involved in some capacity. Not going to put her in pressure here while she's on the air with us live. Obviously, guys, contact at InsideThe18Media.com if you have a guest suggestion or a topic suggestion, or at Goalkeeper Podcast on the Union app. Fallon, if people want to reach out to you on traditional socials until you get your Union handle, what is it?
I'm mostly on Instagram, so it's just at Fallon, my first name, so P-H-A-L-L-O-N.
Just like Saskia right there, at Saskia on the Union.
That's right, because it's a unique name.
Yeah.
I mean, well, at least over here it is. I mean, if I was in Holland, people would be like, you have to put your last name to that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, see?
Fallon, how many Fallons have you met?
Really, I think less than five. I think less. One I know I've met at Walmart, and I can only think of that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've like met two, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you met a Fallon at Walmart?
Yeah, she was the cashier and she just had Fallon written on her name tag.
Nice.
Yeah. But most people spell it with an F. I'm the only one that I've met with a PH.
Nice.
That's amazing. That makes
sense. How many Mikes have you met?
Oh my God. How many Mikes? Well, so just to let you know, I'm what's called a millennial. And it was the most popular name for boys during that generation. So in the United States, that is. So I meet a lot of Michaels. Actually, Michael's not my actual real name on my birth certificate. I was born.
What were you born? Just go ahead.
They misspelled my name on my birth certificate in Venezuela, and they spelled it Mikhail.
All right, Mikhail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they. Yeah, that's what they put on there. They put Mikhail. And people wonder why I wasn't named Miguel. It's because my dad got to name me, and he said Michael. So
right.
I don't know. Right. That's not going anywhere. All right. Guys, you've probably the numbers just start going down. People are like, we're done with this. All right, guys. That's all the time on Inside the 18, and we are out. Later, guys.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.